You turn to Luke chapter 18. Luke chapter 18, verse 1. We're going to read verses 1 through 8, and I'll read the first, you read the second. And he spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray and not to faint.
Saying, there was in a city a judge, which feared not God, neither regarded man.
And there was a widow in that city. And she came unto him, saying, avenge me of mine adversary.
And he would not for a while, but afterward he said within himself, though I fear not God nor regard man,
yet because this widow troubleth me, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming she weary me.
And the Lord said, hear what the unjust shall say.
And shall not God avenge his own elect, which cry day and night unto him, though he bear long with them?
I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on the earth?
Let's pray. Heavenly Father, you're a God that answers prayer. And we come to you this morning and we ask you to bring revival to our hearts. Bring clarity of your will to our souls. Bring us to the point that we would love serving you. And I pray to God you'd bring revival in our hearts, in our families, in the church. Lord, we do pray for lost souls. We pray that, Lord, many might come to know you as Lord and Savior. And we ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Interesting thing what Jesus is dealing with here. He said, he spake a parable unto them to this end. Now, he doesn't always tell you what the parable's about. Some of the parables you got to figure out for yourself, but not this one. He had a purpose in this, and he lets you know what the purpose is. To this end, that men ought always to pray and not to faint. In reading the Bible, I've always noticed how many scriptures are on different topics or different doctrines or whatever. Always fascinated me. Faith, God, Jesus Christ, sin, prayer. Have you ever studied out prayers? I had a real good time one year. I studied the prayers of Paul. In fact, I typed them out on some cards, carried them with me, went through them, and man, it was a blessing to me to study those prayers. We're reading in the Psalms the prayers of David. And what you have is one of the greatest men that ever lived. He was a great sinner. He was a great soldier. He was a great king, maybe one of the most famous kings that ever lived, and maybe one of the best kings. Now, he made a lot of mistakes, a lot of errors. But you know something? He wrote a book called the Psalms. And Spurgeon, one of the great Baptist preachers of the 1850s, whatever, His sermons were printed in the newspaper word for word and spread all across the world, across the English Empire. People buy his books today. You're going to go in any bookstore that's of a fundamental nature, they're going to have some books of Spurgeon. Now, this man preached for a number of years, was a great preacher, and I've enjoyed reading him myself. Great deal. He wrote only one commentary. Out of all the years of his life, he wrote one commentary. You know what it was? Psalms. He called it the Treasury of David. You can find it in almost any bookstore. You can buy it. Nobody ever had a better commentary on the Psalms than that. What are the Psalms, really? They're prayers. They're prayers converted into songs or to chants. And David knew how to pray. He may have been a very big sinner, and he was. He was certainly a great fighter. At one time in his life, he was leading 400 outlaws. Do you know anything about that? You got to be tougher than all of them. You got to be able to whip your way through them. So he was a great fighter. They said Saul has slain his thousands and David his 10,000s. And poor old Saul got jealous and envious and angry and didn't like that. But David was a man after God's own heart. Now, Jesus makes a statement here. He said, he spake a parable unto them to this end, to this purpose. What kind of purpose you got? That men ought always to pray and not to faint. You know, we talk about prayer, and we sometimes have some prayer times. But I think most of us do everything else before we pray. I think it's just a natural habit in us. We think we can fix it. And we don't spend enough time praying. And Jesus is trying to tell us something. One of the biggest doctrines, if you take and number the verses that pertain to it, that belong to it, is prayer. It's all the way back in the Old Testament. It's in all the Psalms that David is doing, and some of these great things that you read, you learn how to pray by reading him. 3,000 years ago, this man. And then all of a sudden, I learned how to pray. I learned what God was thinking about. You can too. But you know, the Apostle Paul, here's a great evangelist, a great missionary. He's a brilliant man. Just read his epistles and you can see how brilliant this man was. He really had an insight. He really knew how to put it out. You know what he did over and over again? He asked for people to pray for him. He said, pray that my words will have entrance, that I'll have utterance, that I'll reach out and touch some people, that people will get saved and come to God. He's asking people to pray for him. I would think, what does Paul need anybody to pray for him for? I mean, he's one of the best, one of the biggest. Well, because men ought always to pray, not to faint. Now, you may have a nervous breakdown. You may have a problem and a breakup with your children. You may have sickness and sorrow. And a lot of these things may drive you to distraction. And yet what Jesus is saying, you ought to pray. You ought always to pray. If the devil's attacking you and people are telling stories on you, you ought to start praying. You know, three groups of our people get a lot of things said about them. One of them is politicians. I've always picking on politicians. I tell them what my dad told me. He said, they're all crooks, just vote for a smart one. And I just about think that way. Now, that's not true. I know some of those are good guys that are really trying to do the thing. But I have this attitude towards them, and most of the world does. And they tell lies on each other, and they spend millions of dollars to promote their lies upon each other, right? Another one is coaches. Everybody is a quarterback on Monday morning. Everybody's a coach. Everybody, well, he shouldn't have done that and he shouldn't have done that. Coaches get fired all the time. And people get mad at him because in high school they didn't play their son. He didn't get this. Well, and preachers are the same thing. How many times have you had roast preacher at 12 o'clock? Didn't like what was said. Wanted to say something about it. Let me tell you what you got to do if you're going to preach or you're going to be a coach, you're going to be a politician. You've got to ignore those things. Men ought always to pray and not to faint. Now, the parable is this. It's a beautiful parable. There was in a city a judge. He didn't fear God and he didn't fear man. This is a man. He's a pretty powerful man. He's on his own. He doesn't mess around with anything. Doesn't fear God. Doesn't fear man. And there's a little widow woman. And she's being cheated somehow, and she wants the judge to make things right. And so she comes to him, and she presents her case. Well, you know how judges are. We'll put that off till next month, and put that off till next month. You know, I've seen it happen time and time again. And he got to thinking, this little widow woman's not going to quit. Ladies, you know how to get your way? Just keep pecking at the point, you know. Keep hitting the same spot.
No.
Well, you know how it's done. You've been doing it for years. He says, I don't know how I'm going to get away from this woman. You know, she bothers me. She wakes me up in my nap time. She drops letters into my mailbox. She does all sorts of things. I'm never going to have any peace unless I let her have what she wants. Okay. I'm not afraid of God and I'm not afraid of any man, but I'm going to give her what she wants. I'm going to avenge her. Now that's common sense. And listen to what he says. He said, shall not God avenge his own elect, which cried day and night unto him, though he bear long with them? I tell you, he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on the earth? I'm wondering if we judged it by prayer, how much time we spent in prayer, all the things that we pray about, all the things that we don't pray about and think we can fix, do we have faith on the earth? How much of it do we have? What kind of faith do we have? Well, it's a pretty interesting parable. He said, I'm going to avenge her because I don't want her continually coming back to ask me. And she doesn't have anything better to do than to come back to the judge. So, make an interesting statement here, verse 7. Shall not God avenge his own elect? You ever feel like you've been deserted? You ever feel like your prayers aren't getting out of the roof? You ever feel like God isn't interested in what you're doing? And Billy's telling us he's really not in some cases because it's not eternal. Some of our problems are pretty petty, aren't they? Just like children. You ever thought about that? I saved a lot of money because I was poor. Most of my life I was poor. I saved a lot of money when I didn't buy anything my kids wanted the first time they asked for it. You go away a little ways, they forget about it. They would, if they kept asking, they generally got it. Isn't that right? Well, we got a God that says here, I will avenge them speedily. God's interested in you. He wants something out of you. He wants a different attitude out of you. He wants you to watch your mouth. He wants you to quit your complaining. He wants you trusting him and praying. And Jesus taught us about prayers, how to pray. He even let us in on his own personal prayer in John chapter 17 as he prayed to the Father for the church and he prayed for you. I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on the earth? Now he's talking about avenging his own elect. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 1 verse 6, there's an interesting verse. You might want to mark this one down. Seeing it is a righteous thing with God to recompense tribulation to them that trouble you. Are you a child of God? You've been filled with the Holy Spirit. You've got eternal life. You're going to be with him forever. How do you act when somebody messes with your kids? Yeah, you know, you're going to protect your own children. I pray for me and my wife and my two sons, us four no more. Isn't that what most of our attitude is?
Yeah.
Let me tell you what. When my kids started driving cars, had their own license, had their own car, and they were leaving the house at about 16 years old, I learned to pray better than I ever had prayed in my life. Man, when they're little, you think you can do things for them. You can shove them around. You can protect them. Once they get that driver's license, get that car, you can't protect them. You can't. And so I'd set up a lot of nights. I didn't go to bed till my kids were home. I set up doing a lot of things, but I tell you what, I did a lot of praying. I prayed for their protection from the going out in the automobile. I prayed for their protection from a gang. I prayed for their protection against sin. I prayed for a whole lot of things. I learned how to pray a whole lot better when my kids got to be teenagers and got their driver's licenses. But it looks to me like Jesus is saying we ought to be praying like that all the time. Men ought always, always to pray. You're not as smart as you think you are.
Amen.
You know, you'd get a whole lot better results out of your husband, ladies, if you prayed for him instead of nagged him. Oh, yeah. It just might work. You ever thought what God could do? If you were praying for God to change something that maybe is sinful in your life, in your circumstances, in your marriage or whatever, you just might have a whole lot better results if you spend a little time in prayer. Men ought always to pray and not to faint. Well, we know we've got a God. He's a Father. Now, look at Psalm 20. I want you to turn to this, if you will. You might even want to mark it. Interesting thought to me. I talked to you about David and him teaching us how to pray in the Psalms. But look at chapter 72, verse 20 of the Psalms. The prayers of David, the son of Jesse, are ended. You're going to quit praying. You, just like David, you're going to quit praying. It's a finality. His prayer time is ended. His prayers are ended. He doesn't get to pray anymore, does he? Your prayers are going to cease. David ceased. They're ended. Your prayers will cease, just like David's. Now, there are a lot of talented people in this room. Some of you are talented in writing. Some of you are talented in repairing. Some of you are talented in just hundreds of musically and whatever. But you're not talented in everything. Do you know your weaknesses? Do you know what you cannot do? Well, there's a lot of things I know I cannot do. And that's a little bit of wisdom in that. But every believer can pray. Every one of us can pray.
Amen.
I have a dog. I like my dog. I go out and pet him every day. I go out there and rough him up. You see, he scars me up all the time. He loves to jump up and fight like that. And he weighs about 60 or 70 pounds. So he's a healthy dog. And I sometimes wear coats and gloves and trying to keep my skin from getting to be torn up. But I love my dog. I spend a couple of periods a day with him. Maybe in the morning when I get up early, and then before I go to bed at night, I might go out there and pet him for just 5-10 minutes. Do you even spend that much time with God?
Amen.
Something to think about.
Amen.
Something to think about. Now, back when I was taught to pray, I was a kid and I was taught to pray. I was, hold your hands. Why do they do that? Because kids will do all sorts of things with those hands if you let them alone. So they did, like I said, now close your eyes, because they don't want them sneaking around, you know. Close your eyes and pray. You don't have to clasp your hands or close your eyes to talk to God.
Amen.
You don't have to say all sorts of religious things to talk to God. My father, I had a good father. I'm thankful for the father that I had. I didn't have to talk to him in a special way. He was my friend. He was my father. He was my authority. He was my almost everything. I still respect him. He didn't have a high school education. He just went to the 10th grade because in that little country town he was in, that's as high as the school went. So my mother and my father had 10th grade education. To get 11 and 12, they had to ride 20 miles into Lampasas to get the 11th and 12th grade. And that cost money and all sorts of trouble and time. They didn't worry about it. He wanted me to get an education. He wanted me to have the degrees because he saw what it did to him in his life. He could fix almost anything. Just a real man fixed it. He was wise. He whipped me till I was 12 years old. And then he told me, I'm stopping whipping you now and we're going to talk. I wish that he went back to the whipping. He would sit me down and in a very kind way, almost never angry, he would explain how stupid I was. Isn't that right? You ever had anybody do you that way? My dad did it from the time I was 12 all the way up. I remember one time when I was 17 years old and he was frustrated with me and he said, you can't put a 40-year-old head on a 17-year-old body. He was very frustrated. That's the truth. You know? You may not have a lot of talent. You may not know what a dipstick is. You may not be able to nail a nail into a piece of sheetrock. But you can pray. You can pray. God wants you to pray.
Amen.
The whole Bible is just filled with people praying. It's filled with examples of answers to prayer. I think when we get to heaven, we're going to see how much prayers open the doors in many places where revival took place and where mission fields were opened up and souls were saved, lives were changed, and churches were revived. We ought to be praying. You can pray. Now, one of these days, your prayers are going to cease. Miss Taylor, sweet Christian woman, I know she prayed for years, but her prayers are ended. She's not going to pray anymore. Who will that affect? Well, let me just switch it to you. You're right now here. You can pray. Is there anybody you're praying for? Are you praying for any lost people to get saved? Are you going day by day, week by week, month by month, year by year? Are you praying for some lost soul? Are you praying for some lives to be changed? Maybe yours. Maybe your husband's. Maybe your sons or daughters. Maybe that a marriage will work and be put together. Maybe the children that'll get disciplined so they don't have to grow up and the police don't have to discipline them. What are you praying for? Who is going to be affected when your prayers end? You ever thought about that? You say, what am I here for? Old folks. We got a bunch of old folks in here. I'm one of them. Who's going to be affected when I die? When my prayers are ended? Who will it affect? Will it affect anybody? Are you right now praying and keeping somebody close to God? Are you right now praying for somebody to get their life right? Maybe you're praying for your children or your grandchildren. What's going to happen when you can't pray anymore? Will anybody be affected? I would hope so. I would hope so. You can pray. You know what? I don't necessarily close my eyes. I don't get into a real spiritual state. But I pray all the time. I'm always interrupted my thoughts with, Lord, what about this? Or, Lord, what about that? Or, Lord, I want this. Or, Lord, I want that. And when I get ready to preach a sermon, I pray a whole lot. Lord, can I touch somebody? Can the Spirit of God use this to save a soul? Can He use it to encourage a believer? Can He use it to save a marriage? Can you use it that people will be drawn close to you? Can you give us revival today? Every believer can pray. Who's going to miss out when you cease to pray? Anybody?
Amen.
I dare say that some of you aren't praying for anybody.
Amen.
You've got the opportunity, and I want you to think about this a minute. You have got the opportunity, the invitation, to talk to the King of Kings and Lord of Lords and God of Gods. You are invited into the presence to make your requests known. That's what this Bible says. Let your requests be made known unto God. Now, you may be like some of your little children, and you want things you don't need, and God's got to tell you no. But bless your hearts, what an opportunity. If I miss appointment with one of my doctors, I got these 10 specialists, you know, trying to keep me alive. And they are my social life. I got all these appointments with them, you know. If I miss one of those appointments, sometimes it takes me 3 months to get another one with the same guy. They're busy. I can't see them just anytime I want to. What if I wanted to see the mayor of this town? I bet you I'd have a hard time. Well, what do you want him for? I have to go through all sorts of underlings and all sorts of secretaries and whatever. What if I wanted to go down and talk to the governor of the state of Texas? You think I could just walk down there tomorrow and go in and get to see the governor of the state of Texas? I don't think so. What if I wanted to talk to Mr. Trump and tell him turn off his Twitter? Do you think I'd get to where I could talk to him? And yet, what we have right here is an invitation to you to come talk to me from the God that created everything. From a God that can change anything in a moment. He can resurrect from death to life. He can restore eyesight. He can restore health.
Amen.
You have the command. You have the responsibility to let God in on your thinking. You need to talk to Him. You need to ask Him to help you. You need to pray for your kids. You need to give them some advice. If you've got any advice, you need to give them some advice. And you need to pray for them. You need to pray every time they go. And by the way, that doesn't stop when they get to be 60 years old. You just can't do much about it. I can't spank them anymore. They don't even want my advice anymore. But I can pray. And you can pray. How much time have you wasted the last 10 years if you didn't pray?
Amen.
How much trouble has been in your life just because you didn't pray? Jesus said men ought always to pray.
Amen.
Not to faint. Men ought always to pray. Prayer is our business.
Amen.
Prayer is the weapon of the Christian.
Amen.
That's your weapon. You got example of it all through the Old Testament. Here's Daniel. He's praying to God in heaven, and he caused a war. His prayer on the earth, looking up, caused a war in heaven.
Amen.
Wow. Could you pray? Could you cause something to happen? The Apostle Paul said, pray for me. And it always struck me as almost funny. Here's far as I'm concerned, the best missionary, the best evangelist, one of the smartest men I think I've ever read. And I've read a lot of books. I don't think anybody comes close to the Apostle Paul. He's just so intelligent, so energetic, such a fanatic. I mean, nothing going to stop him. Put him in jail, it doesn't stop him. Put him in jail in Rome, and he converts Caesar's household. There was a man like that in World War II. I think he was a Lutheran pastor that was arrested and held in jail by the Nazis. They had to change his guards just ever so often because he kept converting them. What do you think you could do if you'd learn how to pray? Why don't you spend some time in your Bible reading prayers? Why don't you look at the examples of what a widow woman with nothing could do and be blessed, have her life completely changed, transformed? Or maybe a mother that's lost a son and they're burying him, and Jesus comes by and touches the bier. And he raises up and goes back home. Men ought always to pray. Now, we have a lot of fainting. As a pastor, I've listened to a lot of fainting. As a dad, I listen to a lot of fainting. Oh, the world is over. Never going to be happy again in my life. Oh, what could happen? And you, as an adult, think, oh, come on, grow up. In Hebrews 10:36, he says, you have need of patience. You have need of patience. God is not on your timetable, as Billy so aptly demonstrated this morning from the words of God. He's not on your timetable. And when I got a tooth that's hurting, a second seems like an hour. Right? And we have this pain deal. And yet, it's not really all that long. And we know it, and we see it in our children, and yet we act like those same children when we're talking to God. You need a patience. You need to be able to pray today and keep on praying tomorrow and keep on praying until you get what you're praying for or God tells you no. Men ought always to pray. In Luke 18, verse 39, verse 38, and he cried, saying, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And they which went before rebuked him, that he should hold his peace. And he cried so the more, thou son of David, have mercy on me. Wow. The people didn't like him crying. Here's this blind man. He heard about Jesus, and here's Jesus coming through. He said, what's the commotion? What is Jesus? Jesus is passing. He's that close? Wow. Jesus! Jesus! Have mercy on me. Oh, shut up. You're just a beggar. Shut up. Quit bothering us. Quit bothering the great healer. You don't need to do this. He cried the more. Jesus, have mercy upon me. Maybe sometime you need to cry a little more. Amen. Maybe sometime you need to pray and keep on praying. Amen. Sometimes I've had the problem of praying for something and then realizing I was praying for the wrong thing and quitting. You know, I don't want it anymore. There are things that I prayed for I'm sure glad God didn't give me. I mean, I see that in my life. I'm sure you've done the same thing. But bless your heart, when you're praying for the right things, praying for the right marriage, praying for the right job, praying for the right life, praying for the right heart, the right spirit, praying for somebody to get saved, praying for revival in your church, praying for the lost world out here, or even praying for the country. Good night. We have come to a place that our Supreme Court and our laws in these cities, if it's in the Bible as something good, they got to make a law against it. What used to be perversion is now normal. That's not true. That's not true. I think you ought to be praying for this country. I think you ought to be praying for another revival.
Amen.
Win some more souls to Christ. Everybody ought to make prayer their business. Why do you think it's such a little thing that you can just kick it on the side? Just ignore it until maybe it's just pressed upon you. Or maybe don't pray till you go to church. You know, we'll have a little prayer. Let's all bow and pray and you pray. And that's your praying for the week?
Yeah, amen.
He said you ought to pray, always.
Amen.
Well, do you do that? I think I'm looking at a bunch of sinners.
Amen.
I think I'm looking at people that do not do what Jesus said do.
Amen.
Men ought always, always to pray, not to faint. And if you were praying, you wouldn't faint. You ever thought about that? You know what it says here? Everybody ought to make prayer their business. Why? Well, can you handle the devil by yourself? Can you handle the devil? Can you even handle one of his sergeants? No, maybe the devil may not have to come after you. He just might send a little private in the army of the evil of heaven. What about world evangelism? Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. That's an impossibility. You think you can do that on your own? You think you can raise enough money with the churches the way they give money to missions or to evangelism? No, no way you will. It takes God. You got to get God into the mix. You've got to get God into your plans. You've got to get God into your leadership. You need God to move upon people and touch their hearts and break their hearts. I remember when Billy got broken. Change in his life was immediate. Just like that. When I got saved, change in my life was the same way. We need to pray for God to change some lives. Could you pray for that every day? Yes, you could if you would. You can pray while you're driving in traffic. Instead of getting mad at all the people that are cutting you off, slow down and pray. With your eyes open and your ears open and being alert, you can walk into God anytime. You don't have to be specially religious.
Amen.
Now, I know a lot of people they're all into religion. No, no, it's not that way. God's inside of you. He knows you better than you know yourself. You can talk to Him just as plain as you talk to yourself. It ought to be your business to pray. God, help us to pray.
Amen.
Your children. I have a bad feeling about the discipline that's being raised up, not just in the church, in all the country. I feel like undisciplined parents can't discipline their children. And if you don't break them before they're 5 years old, you're going to have a hard time when they're 15. And then the police are going to break them. And they will. Send them into the army. They'll put them in boot camp. They'll break them. They know what they're doing. We need revival in this country. We need a movement of God in this country. Something like's happened in the past. And if it doesn't happen, it's just going to get worse and worse and worse and worse. And you're sitting around watching it and not ever praying. You know I'm telling you the truth.
Amen.
The only answer to all of these things, the devil, world evangelism, your children, tremendous, tremendous problems in our country, in our life. It's God's intervention. If we don't get God to move in this mess, It's going to go downhill bad. It's already downhill bad. But it's going to get a whole lot worse. There are places around the world that are a lot worse than we are. Some of you people, so I've heard some people complain, some of the Hollywood groups, well, if so-and-so gets elected, I'm going to leave the country. Well, go ahead. I'll donate. Just don't come back. Where are you going to go? Bangladesh? How about Egypt? Why don't you visit Israel? Why don't you move over to Israel? Hey, go to England. It's a Muslim country now. It's a Muslim country. England and France. They're not voting like you think. That's why I thought of things are different today. You better pray for revival in this country, a revival in this state, revival in this town. How about a revival in this church? Amen. And I don't believe we're going to get it unless we pray. Amen. God's intervention. Elijah was the prophet of God, and he walked up to the king. Didn't say he was invited or had an appointment. And he stuck his finger in the king's face and said, it's not going to rain anymore till I say so. And turned around and walked out. It didn't rain for 3.5 years in the whole kingdom. Now, we've been getting a lot of nice rain. They didn't get anything like that for 3.5 years. They're not making any crops. They're not making enough to sell. They don't have enough to eat. And then God told Elijah, and he went in and said, it's going to rain. Why don't you have that as a goal? I'd like to be like Elijah. I'd like to be on praying contact with the God of the universe. You realize? You realize what I'm talking about here? I'm not talking about the governor. I'm not talking about the principal. I'm not talking about the teacher. I'm not talking about the parent. I'm talking about God. Your invitation is not from me. It's from God. All that wisdom and all that power, and he invites you. And you know what he's done? He's answered a lot of prayers. You could go around here and some of you could tell me about prayers that God has answered for you. I can tell you about ones he's answered for me. And yet, how could we be so lax in doing what Jesus told us to do? Men ought always to pray and not to faint. Well, I hope you'll repent of that. I really do. Hope you'll repent of that. Hope you'll learn how to pray by reading David and Paul and Jesus. And I hope you repent enough that you start praying every day for the rest of your days on this earth. That'd be a revival for me. If I could say, wow, that little church I have, they pray every day. They're up to God every day. They want the will of God done. They want revival. That'd be great. That'd be wonderful. You know, somebody just might get saved. If you happen to be here and lost today, let me tell you something. Jesus Christ saves. He saves for eternity. He gives eternal life to those that repent of their sins and by faith take him as their Lord and Savior. But it has to be by faith, just like, by the way, prayer. You got to believe in God, and you got to believe that God will answer prayer. You got to believe that God will answer your prayer. That's faith. It's believing, trusting what God has said. And he said, men ought always to pray and not to faint. Jesus Christ can save your soul and he can change your life. My Christian friend, you need to repent of not praying. You really do. You need to get your heart right and decide to get on conversational situation with God. You need to talk to God all day long. You really do. Let's sing number 231, Jesus Saves.